Mistress Louise de Caraval. Now, she's going to be another of Charles II's little lady friends here. Now, she was born on September of 1649. Her full name is Louise Renée de Pennacot de Caraval, later the first Duchess of Portsmouth. Her father was Guillaume de Pennacot, Lord of Caraval, and her mother was Marie de Ploc de Timur. The family had very long noble ties there in Brittany. As a matter of fact, Louise ended up being the maid of honor for King Charles II's sister, Henrietta Anne Stuart, who was the Duchess of Orléans, married to the brother of Louis XIV. So she was the sister-in-law to the Sun King, Louis XIV. Now, one story is that her family placed her, hoping she would catch the eye of the king, but not Charles. They were thinking about Louis XIV, because, of course, Louis XIV had quite the eye for the ladies as well, although he was more of a one-night stander to some extent with a few special ladies. But, you know, they were almost right, because she ends up with King Charles II. Now, Louise met Charles II when Princess Henrietta came to London for a visit. And Louise had what John Evelyn called was a beautiful baby face. And Charles II fell head over heels for her the first time he saw her. He's really kind of a get a good look, size them up, and decide whether they're really worthwhile. But she played hard to get. Louise is very clever and had a strong will to go with her various feminine charms. When Princess Henrietta went back to France, so did Louise. Well, in 1670, Princess Henrietta died. Louise at the time was 21, and now without a sponsor. And her family wasn't that high of nobility, so she's really in a little bit of trouble. And this is where our White Knight, King Charles II, decided that he would appoint Louise a lady-in-waiting to his own wife, Catherine Braganza, which is, of course, his poor wife. She ends up with ladies-in-waiting that are almost always his mistresses. Now, there's a claim that Louis XIV convinced her to go to Charles so that she could help push England closer to France. And although the French ambassador certainly gave her aid, and she certainly received gifts from the King of France, and she really did move Charles II to various treaties with France, there's no real evidence, hard evidence, to indicate that this is a master plan by the French government. Of course, Charles persevered and pursued after Louise arduously, but she kept teasing him and taking her time before allowing Charles II to attain his full pleasure with her. It took almost a year, which is really kind of taking a chance, as fickle as he is with women sometimes. There's a great story of how closely she was watched by the French ambassador. There was a dinner one night, and Louise became sick to her stomach. And, of course, she'd been in England a year, and what the ambassador was thinking is that she was pregnant. Unfortunately, it was just bad food. She wasn't pregnant at that time. Eventually, the French foreign minister, Colbert de Croisset, personally took Louise to Newmarket in England so that she could be with Charles II. He liked watching the horse races, but he was all alone at Newmarket as his current mistress, Nell Gwynn, was 7 months pregnant. Well, at this meeting, Louise then allowed Charles II to successfully enjoy her fully, and a few months later, shall we say 9 months later, she gave birth to a boy named Charles. How surprising. Louise was made on August the 19th, 1673. She was made the Baroness of Petersfield, the Countess of Fareham, and the Duchess of Portsmouth. And these titles and the land that came with them actually produced a significant amount of income for her. In 1677, She was making 27,300 pounds off of those estates. In addition, prior to that, in 1673, Louis XIV gave her the title of Duchess of Aubigné and made her part of the peerage of France. However, as fishy as this looks from the standpoint of, aha, the French are really in cahoots putting her with the king, in reality, those titles were given to her at the request of Charles II to Louis XIV. Now, of course, Louise is popular in bed with the king, but she's not popular in England. Nell Gwynn, his other mistress, referred to her by the nickname Squintabella. And, of course, she's Roman Catholic and French, which are two real negatives within the country. So, you know, there's always a little trouble there. But Louise is different from some of the other mistresses, like Lady Palmer and some of the others. She wasn't promiscuous whore, having sex with other people. Rather, she was totally Charles II and his alone. Louise was even designated Charles II's official mistress, which is kind of nice if you're going to do that. Of course, Charles chased others, and as a result, ended up giving Louise venereal disease, something that she would then remind him of over and over and over again. And of course, Charles II, who is normally generous regularly, was even more generous in the guilt of having done this to her. But Louise forgave him, never asked him to give up his, what they call wenching, chasing other women. She provided Charles with a quiet sanctuary, and all she asked for was just fine clothes and jewelry. Of course, she's making good money off the titles. Just give me some fine clothes and jewelry. The two were together for 7 years. Her son Charles was made Duke of Richmond in 1675. Louise was his companion to the end. She saw to it that Charles, who was sympathetic to Catholicism, did not die without confession and absolution. Charles, before dying, asked his brother and heir, James, the Duke of York, to be kind to his mistresses, especially the Duchess of Portsmouth. After Charles II's death, Louise returned to her French pensions and grants, which eventually were lost during James II's reign and, of course, then the Restoration in 1688. So Louise lived at Aubignon. Philip II, regent at Louis XIV's death, then protected her from her debtors, and the French government gave her a pension. And she died November the 14th, 1734, in Paris, at the age of 85. Now, the sources for this are Louise de Caraval by Fourneron, Encyclopedia of Mistresses by Sova, Charles II, Man and Statesman by Ashley, and The Tragedy of Charles II, 1630 to 1660 by Chapman. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, SummaHistorica.com or HistoryAccordingToBob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, and of course, check out the CDs. And thank you very much.